and a great day to you. This is Andrew Horowitz, your host of the Disciplined Investor Podcast. We have something very special, something I've been working on for a while. It's going to be a two-part process we're going to have this week, or episode number 37, part of the BESBE Awards, which is the best of the web in terms of software, podcast, blogs, education, and websites that you can use to make you a better investor. Today, we have a great guest that's going to help us with part one of the BESBE Awards, and that is Matt Shiffrin. And Matt Shiffrin is with Forbes. He is not only been there a while, actually, many years, about 23 years. He is the vice president and editor of Forbes Newsletter Group and editor of Forbes.com's personal finance channel. And I thought it would be a great end of year, beginning of next year, to start working on our investment planning and our strategies. And what better way to find out some of the best software and websites and blogs and podcasts and places that you can go to really find out what it is that you need to know on a daily basis and how to streamline the process, because there is so much information out there, isn't it? I mean, it's kind of like taking a drink, a little sip from an open fire hydrant, as I see it. It's just pouring in. It's information overload. And what Forbes has done is provided a great tool, which they call the best of the web. And there's a bunch of websites on there, really. But in his recent newsletter, they call it for the top 25 best of the web. And that's available for download on our website. And you can also get emailed that. I guess it's about weekly. We'll talk to him about that in a moment when we get on with that interview. And next week, we're continuing with the first annual BESBE Awards. Blogs, education, software, and podcasts that you need to know to be the most successful investor that you can be. There is so much information out there that it's, you know, it's almost like trying to take a sip out of a fire hydrant, but how can we narrow it down? Well, that's what this first annual BESBE Awards is all about. This is going to be a tool that you can use for a long time. So make sure that you're paying attention and make sure that you're tuning in, subscribing to The Disciplined Investor. Make sure you check out the show notes, because on our website, www.thedisciplinedinvestor.com, all the links to these things that we're talking about today will be readily available for you. And thanks for everybody who has been actively downloading the audiobook, The Disciplined Investor Essential Strategies for Success, is available in our bookstore. So if you want to download it, it is available for you. Just go to thedisciplinedinvestor.com, and the full book and all of its information is on there. We're getting some really nice comments from you. Thank you so much. And finally, I want to make you an offer. You helped me so much bring this podcast up to a great level on iTunes and the Zune Marketplace and all that. Help me out at Amazon.com. Here's what I'm going to do. If you buy a book on Amazon.com and leave a review, all you have to do is send that to me. We will research and make sure that it matches up and send you a free copy of The Disciplined Investor's audiobook. In addition, a little bookmark. We'll send you a few things like that. And just as a thank you for helping out. So head on over to Amazon.com, pick up your copy of The Disciplined Investor, Essential Strategies for Success. Write a review on the Amazon website. Send it off to reviews@thedisciplinedinvestor.com. Again, that's reviews@thedisciplinedinvestor.com. And we'll make sure to send you your copy of the audiobook and some other goodies. Thank you for your support. It means a lot to me. Okay, now it's time for you to sit back and relax. We've got you covered. We've done the research. Don't worry about that. And here it is. The first annual BESBE Awards from the Disciplined Investor Podcast starts right now.
The Disciplined Investor is all about you, your money, and the markets. Sit back and get ready for this edition of the Disciplined Investor Podcast.
The Disciplined Investors First Annual BESBE Awards. Here's your host, Andrew Horowitz.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And as promised, we're here with Matt Shiffrin, who writes with Forbes and is involved with the best of the web. And we're going to discuss some of the top websites according to Forbes. Matt, thanks for joining me today.
It's good to be here.
So let's talk about the best of the web, some of the essential sites as you see it for investors. And, you know, tell me about what the process is that Forbes goes through and, you know, what it is that you're looking for in these sites.
Well, we actually... our researchers, our reviewers judge sites on a number of different kind of parameters. One of the main ones is content. We look at a site's content, we look at its design, the navigation, how easy it is to navigate. We look at how the speed of the site and how customizable it is, how well you can kind of adapt it to your personal needs. I think if you were to look at the weighting we put on those different factors, how the content would be our number one. We focus mostly on the content because there are a number of sites that we like that aren't very well designed and they're not that pretty. But the content is just amazing.
Right. So it's kind of like the old adage that, you know, you want to make sure that the book has the words that you want, but who cares what the cover looks like is what you're saying.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I hear you. So let's go through some of these. And we'll go in basically a random order. There's a lot of them. And maybe you can tell us afterwards how people can subscribe to this list. But on the top of one of the pages, actually, a site I love is Investopedia. Tell us a little bit about that. What do you like about them?
Investopedia, in the interest of full disclosure, Forbes Media LLC, which is the parent company of Forbes.com, recently purchased Investopedia. I am a bit biased in liking that website, although I will tell you that they were on the best of the web list long before Forbes even kind of was looking at them as an acquisition. Anyway, that said, I like Investopedia, and I think a lot of investors like Investopedia for a number of reasons. They are kind of the definitive source for learning, for investment education and learning about different aspects of investing and finance and personal finance. They have, I believe it's over 3,500 searchable finance and investment terms, and they've got a lot of tutorials. And so Investopedia is kind of like essentially it's an encyclopedia for investors.
Right, like a giant glossary.
Giant online glossary. And a few other things that people don't realize that they also have is they have this really good simulator tool if you want to go and test how good of a stock picker you are or have a contest among your friends. You can go on there and register and trade either stocks or options on their stock simulator. It's not widely promoted, but it's a pretty handy tool on their site. So not only can you learn about investing, but you can also test your skills with their simulators without losing your shirt.
So I guess what it seems like Investopedia is really for the guy who's looking for really early knowledge about investment terms, investment ideas, and then maybe to take it one step further than to test them and to see how much you learned about them. It would seem like
absolutely. And it's also, just a good resource to have. If you're reading the Wall Street Journal or any of the financial news, inevitably there's going to be stuff like cash flow or EBITDA or something that you don't understand. And as you said, this financial glossary is just well done because it's not just kind of the textbook definition, but they also give you a cut to the chase version, kind of Investopedia says version of what actually it means. Cut out the big words and basically explain what price earnings ratio represents or something like that.
So let's skip over to another one. Again, I'm randomly picking some of these because it would take us a long time to go through every one of them. You mentioned stock charts. Tell us about what it is about stock charts that really makes the grade from your aspect and your position.
Stock charts is a really it's an excellent site for those interested in technical analysis. Technical analysis is kind of the movements of price and volume and looking at a stock's actual chart in determining it's whether it's a buy, sell, or hold. And stock charts is, I believe, the kind of the editorial director is John Murphy, who's a well-known technician, and there's a lot of education for chartists on the site, as well as they have some really handy features. There's one that we use a lot here at Forbes.com, and I know investors use a lot. It's called their perf charts, where you can go in there and quickly, put in 10 tickers that you want to compare charts on, or and you click on a button, and they're graphically represented for you in a number of different ways, and it makes it easier. If you're a chartist, you oftentimes will want to look at charts in relation to other charts, and they do a great job. They also have some predefined performance charts that would focus on things like commodity groups or market capitalization, S&P market capitalization indexes. So I think that stock charts is an excellent tool for those interested in technical analysis, and it's also a great place to learn about technical analysis.
One of the things I like about stock charts, they also have an area in there that users, maybe professional or amateurs, have gone in and set up galleries upon galleries of different charts that can be used. For example, you want to find just all the markets at a glance, or you want to find all the commodities, maybe the Dow Jones 30 individually, and those charts are then ranked and rated by the users to see what is liked and not. So therefore, you get this natural float to the top of the best of the best that are out there, so that you have this long list of things that people have voted on. Hey, I love this gallery of charts. It really is the one thing I can look at a few times a day and from a charting standpoint. And really, you know, it's right there for me. I don't have to create anything. They do it all. I don't know if you've checked that out before. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is a great feature. I also like the market carpets feature are almost like these heat maps. SmartMoney.com has them as well, but heat maps of different sectors or market averages, and I think you can even customize it to look at your own make your own market carpets.
Yeah, so, I hear you. So let's go to another. Again, some of these are my favorites. So you have Briefing.com. Briefing.com is. I don't think there's many sources out there that really consolidate the news like they do for the price they do. But quite honestly, it's not the most expensive thing. Tell me your thoughts on Briefing.com.
Well, just as you said, it's kind of up to the minute news on what Wall Street is saying about a particular stock or a market or a sector or a market kind of incident. You know, there's a free version of the site that a lot of people use that. It just kind of, if you're one of these people who, you know, essentially likes to watch CNBC, or this is kind of a less hyperbolic version of that and more of a straight news view of what's going on in the market and what stocks are moving and what analysts are reporting on different equities, et cetera.
Yeah, they also have that. What I leave on my screen, I have it actually on a separate system in the back. What I leave on the screen is their They have a way to look at this, the headlines, and it breaks it down into four different quadrants, and it continually refreshes every couple of seconds so that you're getting all the news, and you can actually click a button to allow alerts to be either visually or audibly brought out, so that when you're sitting there, if something happens that you want to, you know, look at, it comes up automatically on your screen, and you just let that run all day to see. I think, and it's pretty cheap. It really is. Even for the top platinum program, is relatively inexpensive.
Yeah, absolutely. Is it? I assume that for you're actually paying for your version of Briefing.com.
Yeah, that's the one you have to pay for. I think it's $29 a month or $30 a month or something. It's not very expensive.
Yeah, I think if you're serious about the market, then a source for news and headlines like this, a customizable source, is an important tool to have.
Right. So what about a site called bestcalls.com? I think this is kind of a neat site that most people probably don't know about.
Yeah, that's the kind of the... it's the home base for conference calls and where you can listen to audio, and I think they may have some video on there, but archive conference calls from different companies. I mean, every day, as most investors know, there's conference calls going on, and the best way to find out about a company is to really hear what management has to say about the company. Obviously, you can listen and read what analysts say, but to, you know, hear the CEO talk about the company's most recent quarter or some event going on at the company is probably, you know, that it's what the professionals do, and it's probably the best source of information, that primary source. So this is bestcalls.com is a repository for conference calls. There's, you know, thousands of them listed each quarter. I know we talked about this before, but another way to look at to get conference calls in text version is to go to seekingalpha.com, which is kind of a blog aggregator, which has a feature that will feature lots of, you know, you you punch in a ticker, and it oftentimes will have a text version of the conference call.
Right. Yeah.
But this is more of a this allows you to get on these things live.
Right. Or replay. I think actually Best Calls allows you to have a replay as well. They keep it there for some time.
And, yes, they definitely have archived conference calls.
Now that Seeking Alpha, and again, in full disclosure, I am a contributing blogger, author, writer, to Seeking Alpha, and Seeking Alpha I find to be, Seeking Alpha is a great place because it does do this aggregation, which is a big word these days, because instead of looking in 20 different places for something, you get the opportunity to find it in essentially one. But Seeking Alpha, and especially with their new redesign, I mean, what is it that you like about them, aside from what I've mentioned, of course? What's so special about Seeking Alpha, in your opinion?
Well, I think that, it's run by some really smart editors who essentially try to categorize and organize a lot of the information going on online about stocks, and it's kind of in many ways it's a blog aggregator, and it it takes not just what bloggers are having to say, but what analysts have said about stocks, and it aggregates and organizes it well. So instead of having to kind of bookmark 50 different financial blogs, you can go to Seeking Alpha and see and look at it by category or by date, who's saying what about what stock. They also have this conference call feature, which I think is these transcripts of conference calls, which I think is an excellent feature and easily searchable, because you can sit on listen to a conference call and wait for them to talk about, a company's operations in Mexico, or you can just search for Mexico
right.
in a transcript, and it's going to save a lot of time if it's in text form.
Yeah, and the other thing about Seeking Alpha also is, I think it's interesting, is that they are truly the blog of the blogs in a way, so because you can actually subscribe to various parts of the site, whether it's the conference calls, whether it's about a particular stock, whether it's about U.S. markets, through an RSS feed, so that you automatically have a subscription. You could just easily thumb through all the information and not have to even go one step further. So there, if you use Google Reader or you use a reader that's built into your browser, whatever you want to do there, it's automatically and constantly updated for you, and gives you just a great amount of opportunity to do a quick scan for what you're looking for and hone in on what you want to read.
Right. And also they have an email versions of that as well. If you don't want an RSS, you can have they have that Wall Street Breakfast, which comes out every morning, which kind of is a summary of key stories that are moving markets. And it's delivered before the market is opened, or via email or RSS reader.
Right.
And I think that, over the weekend, they'll kind of summarize Barron's and some important sources for news that will often move markets. And the other good thing is that if you have a strong opinion and you feel like you're smart about a stock or a sector, you can submit your own article and kind of be part of the be among the pundits on stocks.
Mm-hmm. So, with quotes.
It's easy to join that community.
With quotes around the pundits. All right, so, the other thing is that a lot of things we just mentioned, one of my all-time favorite sites, and it's well-known because I talk about it a lot, is MSN Money, Microsoft's money site. I think they've really stepped it up to an incredible level where, it actually has wrapped inside of it. You can find conference calls. You can find the information. Briefing does supply them with economic data, and they get feeds from just a whole host of sources to bring in all of the information regarding an individual stock. Morningstar supplies them with their fund information. And why not, or maybe it is, you do say this, why not just go there and grab everything all at once?
Yeah, I mean, I do. I like Morningstar's, Money Central, Microsoft Money site. I think some of their tools are excellent. I think the columnists are excellent. John Markman writes a column on the site, and Jim Jubak. And there's their Strategy Labs feature, which kind of pits different professional investors and money managers against each other, and you can kind of track their performance and listen to their regular or read their regular commentary. I think MSN is generally underrated. I mean, Yahoo seems to get more traffic, but the tools on MSN are excellent. Particularly, I think their stock screener is one of the best kind of free stock screeners out there. And it's also a good place to get SEC filings.
Yeah, it's great. As a matter of fact, I think I've told you, or maybe I haven't, that I just my book that I just published called The Disciplined Investor. We have a chapter based on quant screening, and what I've done inside that chapter is bring on a lot of different screens, and those are all based on utilizing the MSN screener. So I go step by step in a how to use the screener, because it is so powerful. It's amazing, as a matter of fact, how powerful it is. For a free screener, it's really kind of amazing when you see what else out there.
I mean, whenever I talk to investors about sites to use on the web, I say for screening you want to go, especially if you have a Windows machine, you want to go to MSN Money, and because they have one of the most powerful free screeners out there.
Yeah, and the data is really up to date. It's great. I agree.
Well, they've recently struck a partnership with a site that another site that I really like called Marketocracy.com. I don't know if you're familiar with that site.
Yeah, I know a bit about that. Why don't we talk about that? That's an interesting kind of twist to kind of what's
there's
going
on. One of the new waves in investor websites these days are these kind of, we call them stock picking communities. These little communities out there where they urge you to post your stock picks and write recommendations. It's almost like blogs attached to portfolios where they actually track your performance. In the old days, the message boards like Yahoo and Silicon Investor and Raging Bull, you could basically say whatever you wanted about a stock and nobody would ever really be able to tell how smart you were based on your performance. Well, now there's a kind of a new breed of website out there that actually tracks your performance and will allow you to post commentary. Marketocracy is probably the oldest of these sites. It's been up for more than 7 years right now. And so one of the reasons I like the site is that they do have that history. So there are actually investors who've been posting their portfolio and picking stocks on Marketocracy who've got, 7 year track records where they're, on average are doing 30% plus per year. And it's completely verifiable. It's not, it's not just a lot of hype.
Well, that's an interesting point, because obviously that's in an article that you wrote, I think last year, you talk about the fact that, we've gone to, in some degree, to the boiler room web-based shout boxes that just only showed you one side of the of their real performance, whereas it's which was extremely unfair, of course. But this is, if we could actually have some accountability and have some, I think, some feeling that, somebody is watching, there is some oversight, and we are feeling that it's confidently reported to us in a very unbiased manner. I mean, why not? That's something that I think is very good for everybody.
Right. I mean, this is, these kind of websites that actually track your performance and hold you accountable are kind of exploding on the web right now. There's Marketocracy, which is kind of the granddaddy of these sites, and I urge everyone to go on there and start a million. Basically, they let you go on and start a $1 million portfolio, and they hold you to the same rules that a real life mutual fund manager is held to. Compliance rules where you're not allowed to, have more than I don't know the exact number, more than 10% in any one stock or 20% in any one stock. And so the rules are stiff. But if you're really good at picking stocks, and Marketocracy.com has verified it, you will become part of their top 100. And if you're part of their top 100 investors, the picks that you make actually go into a real-life mutual fund that they run called the Marketocracy Masters Fund, and you will be paid quarterly a fee based on the assets under management. So it's kind of a chance to test your skill and to ultimately be paid as a money manager. They've even taken it a step further. Some of these kind of armchair experts on their website they've actually been raising separately managed account money for them. So some of these guys who have, returns of 35% a year for, at least 5 years, they've begun on a select basis to raise money for them.
That's interesting. Interesting. What a nice twist of it. I mean, it's kind of, why not? Because sometimes, and that's the one thing that's really interesting right now about the way the web is today, is that the voices that were never able to be heard before now have a platform.
Yeah, there's a site that I just met with recently called Covestor. You might have heard it. Actually, the guy who owns Seeking Alpha owns a stake in it. It's a website that urges you to actually sync up your actual brokerage account information on the site, and it allows people who've done that to track others who have their brokerage account information up there. So you're essentially putting your money where your mouth is. It's not just kind of having a $1 million portfolio where you can kind of pick stocks without really spending $1 million. This will actually sync up with your actual portfolio. You can remain anonymous, so they don't know who it is, and they don't know the exact amounts. They do know the allocation percentages. And if you're a good investor, if others can track you, and ultimately, I mean, they're just kind of starting out, but ultimately the plan is to compensate the people who've uploaded their accounts and who become the leaders who other people follow, either with kind of a research fee or in the case if you're a registered investment advisor and you upload your brokerage account and people follow it, they will actually pay you a percentage of assets under, basis point fee.
So gone are the days of shuffleboard discussions about all the winners and never talking about the losers, huh?
Right. I mean, this is essentially what we're seeing is disintermediation of, I mean, the mutual fund business is under attack, in a sense, from some of these small websites.
And rightfully so, by the way, because the transparency, which we've all requested, I've always had a question about this, that could you imagine if one of my clients said to me, Andrew, do me a favor, can you tell me what's in my portfolio? And I say, here's a piece of paper. You know what? It's what we had in there 4 months ago, you know, but it's somewhere in that vicinity. I mean, it's essentially what a mutual fund does by only preparing, quarterly or semi-annual reports. And you never know exactly what's in there. I mean, where's
right. And so this is the transparency you're talking about, and it's your money, and you should know what it's in. Right?
Yeah, I would agree. So tell me lastly, and talk about maybe I don't know if you can go this direction, but any sites that really have fallen off the charts and just been taken over by something else that's much better, that really isn't making the grade anymore, or anything that you want to talk about what's next in this web space of ours?
Well, I think that, from a big picture perspective, these stock picking communities, or as I call them, responsible stock picking communities, where people are actually tracked and held accountable, they've multiplied. So they're kind of feeding on the whole social networking trend, because it's kind of you're networked to people who either you think are good stock pickers or who are following your stock picking. So that there's been a kind of a ballooning of these type of sites. There's about a dozen of them out there now. I think that ultimately there's going to be some roll-ups. There's going to be some consolidation, and some of the bigger sites are going to consolidate them. There's a site in terms of I think one of the things to look out for is that while they're, Yahoo Finance and MSN Money, they have to be kept on their toes now, because there's a lot of kind of competition coming up from the bottom, some of these small sites that are doing amazing things. And in the old days, you'd have to go to Yahoo Finance, as your central repository for all things financial, or MSN Money. And nowadays, there are more ways out there to keep track of specialist websites that are excellent than there were before, and it's kind of keeping the big guys on their toes.
And rightfully so. Listen, the barrier to entry these days compared to what it was 10 years ago to get all that information consolidated and really bring it all in is much easier than it is then. I mean, there's even sites or packages that will create these kind of communities for you, and now you just put, I guess it's kind of like the old stock days meets Facebook, right? I mean, that's where we're coming to right now.
And I think that this is particularly important to some of these news sites that, when you have a situation like Seeking Alpha, where, it's not just random bloggers who are blogging on this site. It's people like you who are very knowledgeable. It's experts who are analysts, money managers, hedge fund guys. And so in the old days, I mean, I'm a longtime Forbes journalist. My sources would be the hedge fund managers, the analysts, people like you. Now they don't need me anymore. They publish directly on Seeking Alpha. And so it kind of, it's significant and legitimate competition for sites like, the WallStreetJournal.com, Forbes.com, BusinessWeek.com. We still have the brand names, but a lot of our best sources are now, going direct.
Well, the other thing you have to realize too, and let's be upfront about it, when you're researching, there is one big difference, in my opinion, by the way, it's the whole vetting process, which is really
There's a lot of promotion.
a lot of promotion. You don't have the multiple sources. You have questionable bias in it. But aside from that, the other thing where they do get the benefit is that when you were writing a story, you know, historically, back when, you would gather your information, you would put it together, you'd pass it through your editors. I mean, that could have been a three-day process, right?
Right.
These days, you write a story and, you know, I have something in my mind that I'm putting together at 8 o'clock in the morning, 10:30, it's all over the web. So,
right.
I mean, there's a big difference there. And you know, maybe good in some occasions to get the information out. It could be also very bad in other situations.
Yeah, it is. I mean, but it also, right. I mean, and I think that's where media establishments like Forbes, you know, if we are to keep our edge is to kind of step back and really give some insight into the news and into the happenings on Wall Street or some investigative features, because you're not going to win in the race to be kind of first with, you know, disparate information. You're not going to, it's very difficult to win that battle. You can get some kind of fleeting traffic, but the way you kind of maintain your brand, and from our perspective, is to add insight and to kind of stamp everything with the, you know, with the Forbes stamp of approval.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, I appreciate. Hey, listen, I appreciate your time today. Maybe we'll have you back again soon as you progress and continually update this. This is speaking with Matt Schifrin, who is the an editor, vice president, I believe, of Forbes, and involved in charge of and writer for the Best of the Web. How could people reach you? Where do they find you? Where do they?
The easiest way to reach me is just directly, you know, my email address, mschifrin@forbes.com. That's mschifrin
at
forbes.com.
Great. And take a look at all those articles on forbes.com. Thanks so much for being with me today. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
All right. That's going to wrap it up for today on the Disciplined Investor Podcast, first annual part one of the BESPE Awards. Make sure to take a look at the site, www.thedisciplinedinvestor.com, for show notes and all the links to the things that we talked about today. And make sure that you do yourself and me a favor. Go to Amazon, pick up a copy of The Disciplined Investor, leave a review, send it off to reviews@thedisciplinedinvestor.com, and we'll send you your copy of the audiobook. Thanks a lot for being with me today. Stay tuned for next week, where we're going to get part two of the BESPE Awards on The Disciplined Investor Podcast.
The Disciplined Investor Podcast is sponsored in part by Horowitz & Company, a registered investment advisor and money manager. The information presented in this podcast is not intended to be used as the sole basis of any investment decisions, nor should it be construed as advice designed to meet the investment needs of any particular investor. Some discussion contain forward-looking statements which are based on current expectations, and differences can be expected. The Disciplined Investor's host, Andrew Horowitz, is a certified financial planner and registered investment advisor regulated by the SEC. None of the information presented should be construed as an offer to sell or buy any particular security. As always, use your best judgment when investing.